Hi, this is Tara, and you're checking out Tea Time with Tara. This week's episode, well, honestly, this month's episode, because it is May, is dedicated to mental health awareness because it is Mental Health Awareness Month. So my guest and I speak a lot about mental health, self-care, just kind of not being an asshole, that kind of stuff. This episode is pretty long, basically because we both go off on these tangents. I think that it's great conversation, so I didn't want to lose any of the valuable content. So hopefully you guys feel the same way that I do, that it didn't need to be cut down too much. Check it out. Hi, Gabriel. Welcome to the show.
Hello, what's up?
You're the first person I think that I've actually had like spoken with and then almost immediately recorded with, by the way. So that makes you very special. Yeah.
That I'm super honored. So because most people do not find me remotely interesting. So the fact that this happened, I'm cool with it. That's a life achievement. So I'm good.
All right. Well, would you like to introduce yourself? Tell me and the listeners a little bit about you.
I laugh because we just joked about that before we started. So it's like, how are we going to do this?
Because I am awkward.
Yes, and awkwardness rules. Awkwardness absolutely rules. So my name is Gabriel Gutierrez. I am both, I work in mental health in the day, and at night I work as an indie game developer. The arts in all of it are very important for me. So yes, so that's, you know, on top of that, I'm a parent and, you know, of a now 5-year-old, who is the light of my, and the light of my day and night, and just, you know, and making sure I'm, you know, I keep things structured and solvent as possible with him. Yeah. To, you know, keep things moving on. So there is a lot that I'm involved with, and I've been on my recovery on the mental health side for over 5 years, and I'm here. The universe said you could wake up today
and live
you can tell your tale again today and get it right and get it better than yesterday. So here. Woo-hoo. I am. Your turn. Who are you, Tara? Who are you?
I'm the host.
Yeah.
So you had said, which I didn't even know before, and maybe it's just because I cannot retain any information lately, but
sorry. Right.
You have a podcast.
I do.
Tell me about your podcast.
Absolutely. And you didn't miss it because I never actually mentioned it. I actually forgot to mention it because we talked about so many things. And we did. Oh, so many things. It was incredible. The podcast thing just kind of left it out there. So my podcast is called Above the Flaw. And Above the Flaw, ultimately, the concept behind Above the Flaw, it had been created, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago. And it was intended to be something completely different, not a podcast. It was intended to be sort of a theme add-on to my open mic, because I run open mics, and because I'm in Northern California. I think the best way to put it is, it was one of the first stages of my recovery that was formed and turned and became, I started investing in it more psychologically and emotionally, invested in it in the early stages of my recovery, turned it into a podcast. And the idea is that you are more than your flaws. We acknowledge our flaws. We talk about those flaws, and there's a boundary though. And the boundary is we don't get to brag about that. But, you know, because there's a lot of people who do that. Like, I have such and such flaws. And it's like, okay, but what are we doing from that? What are we becoming of that? What are we creating from that? And because the flaws are important, acknowledging the flaws are important, but how do we get above that? So, you know, when It's like a plane. You know, yes, it could be raining on the ground. It could be storming on the ground. But you get high enough, you're above it. And you see the sun, no matter how, you know, no matter what, you're going to see the sun. You're going to see that. And we in our lives have to be able to do the same thing. But remembering that sometimes it's going to get stormy, it's going to get rainy. And we embrace that, but we don't need to brag about it, what we become of it. So that's what the podcast, a long-winded answer, that's what becomes, that's what has become of my podcast. And I interview, it's focused on mental empowerment and the arts. You know, I've interviewed a number of different therapists, social workers, those involved in the arts, different nonprofits, you know, who are creating things because of their lived experiences. And I've been running it about a year and a half. This is now, I think, my fourth interview on a podcast. And I think subconsciously, I was needing to be heard now. I had hit a point. And that's what happens when you go through your recovery, right? You get to a point where now you want to be heard. You need to say these certain things. And, you know, though we are confident, there's still that nervousness, there's still that anxiety, but the hunger to speak becomes overpowering. And so for mm-hmm. me, that's what was happening. So instead of me putting the spotlight on others, how do I put the spotlight on myself? And me just talking on my own show, fine, but I didn't want to do it like that, because I often would get treated as if, you know, I'm some self-centered person, some very selfish person by being like that. And that would really, really hit hard for me, because mm-hmm. I know deep inside I wasn't doing that.
Right.
But it's that whole thing, majority opinion, you know, or even if you just hear it once, you know, like, you know, your sensitivity levels, it could just be one person. But if your sensitivity level is like at plus 100, yeah, that one person now miss 101 people to you who just said, you're self-centered, you're selfish. How dare you keep thinking of yourself? But the whole premise of mental health in your recovery is to think for yourself, think of yourself yeah. first. And so, but it took a long time for me to get out of that. So well, now I say,
fuck those people.
That's what I'm saying. Fuck them if they can't hang. Absolutely. Fuck them if they can't hang. As an old friend of mine used to say, fuck them if they can't hang. Absolutely. And so I think what ended up happening subconsciously was, I now want to be heard, but I want to connect with others to tell that story. And it's been wonderful practice for me to how I share my story, you know, what details I share. I'm very unapologetic. Mm-hmm. Each time I share the story, I'm even more unapologetic. And because we have to be, you know, we have to be. And there's this little thing that happens when we go through this, because and that thing is, what do others think about what I'm going to say? And we start to, you know, talk to friends, family, significant others, professional mentors, whatever, you know, contacts, whatever. And we start gauging these different opinions from other people. And, you know, and there's advice out there by a lot of, you know, mentors, those who've been in it for quite some time, you know, say, like, you know, get feedback from other people when it comes to this sort of thing. I kind of challenge that, though, now. And that challenge, funny enough, was very recent, just a couple of weeks ago, because I created this thing, this sort of speech of mine, just to, like, if I were a keynote speaker for something mental health related and telling my story, what would I say? How would I say it? And it's always fluid, right? But in my head, it was like, how do I get others' feedback? What do I think? The answer is, there's no right answer. It's your mm-hmm. story.
Exactly.
It's your feeling.
Well, I love what you said about it not being their story, and that I related to that just in the fact that people aren't going to like what you're going to have to say. That's and true. Because I know for a fact that there are times when I will say something and I wish that I could put the words back in my mouth because it's not exactly what I meant. And I just sometimes say the first thing that pops into my mind, and then I'm like, ah, shit, that wasn't that really like either that wasn't nice. Right. You know, I didn't mean to be mean, but like sometimes I just say stuff because we don't always have nice thoughts. Like, let's be honest.
No, we're human. That's human nature.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's okay.
That can be considered a flaw, right?
Absolutely.
I just was kind of like finding that it is really important to take that time to hash out and process what your experience was specifically, because the more that you talk about it and the more that you think about it, your things might pop into your memory that you're like, oh shit, like I didn't include that before. Mm-hmm. Or, cause I'm doing that with my own story. I am not anytime soon going to share it because, my family, I want to keep my family's privacy as private as possible.
Absolutely.
Cause it includes, obviously, if it's my life, it includes my whole family.
Good point.
But
yes.
I am still, like, I still need to get it out. And so when I recorded it once and then I transcribed it and I was like, wow, I left out a lot of things. And so I've been going back and editing it and adding to it. And, you know, like you get to a point where you've been through some shit and you're just talking about it and you're not being emotional about it anymore because you get so disconnected from it. Right. So that's what I was doing. I was just like sharing facts rather than talking about how I felt about it and processing it. Mm-hmm. So I think that for my tangent, going through your whatever it is that you're trying to process. And
sure.
I mean, different people have different methods of processing their emotions, but I have found that writing things out kind of across the board is a really healthy thing for people to do. So that's it.
It's never it just for now, though. That's good.
Yeah, that's it for now.
But you touched upon a number of very important things. Number one, writing is one of the most powerful ways, journaling, one of the most powerful ways to word vomit, as you will.
Yep.
Emotionally word vomit. And it's, because yes, you're sort of exorcising that bit of your experience, whether it's, on the level of trauma or just sadness, and it's really, really, really important to differentiate the two things. Because what's happened lately is there is sort of this involuntary cohesion of trauma and sadness, and that one are in the same, and it absolutely is not. Absolutely
right.
Not the same. But it's been advertised and it has been, spoken about as if they are. And it's really, really dangerous because, we end up overinflating what's really wrong with us, and we can get so consumed in that misery so quickly. And if we're not conditioned enough, then we will more likely than not tend to say inappropriate things, do inappropriate things, and end up putting a lot of people who more often than not have no idea what the hell's going on, and they end up becoming collateral damage. And now your feelings get lost in all of it. And that's awful. And because then when that heightened behavior comes back down and you really start to think about what the hell happened, holy crap, the amount of regret. And then it's like, what the shit did I just say? I can't. And more often than not, we forget. We forget, like, that's the point of rage and anger. More often we forget, you know, but then on the opposite side, it's that complete misery and sadness. We forget. We just knew how we were feeling in that moment. So the tools, the value behind writing, I still write my poetry, and, you know, it's why I still do my open mics, because those are super important for a lot of people. Cause for more often than not, that's the only space they have, because mm-hmm. social media has done no favors when it comes to expressing ourselves, what we're going through. Yes, it's not to say that there isn't the support, but the judgmental backlash, the amount of just vicious judgmental backlash, and I would even say this might be a little controversial, you know, the amount of vicious positivity, toxic positivity. It's like everything's gonna be great. It's like, listen, yeah,
no,
it is not a small world after all. Just because you say so in your little land of Disney doesn't always vibe over here. You know, it just doesn't always work. So the idea is that, you know, what do we do? Who do we turn to? Your writing is it. That book, your Word document, whatever you use, you know, you get it out there. And more often than not, it really helps when you do want to respond to something. You've gotten your rough draft out first.
Yes.
You've gotten the emotional, it's there. It's like, yeah. Oh, if I sent this, oh, mm-hmm. shit. It would have gone. Yes. Ugly. It would have gone.
Yeah.
And we've all been through that. I've done it
just very recently. So yeah. And then I'm like, oh fuck. Like,
I get it.
I didn't write it out. Like, mm-hmm. now I'm emotionally word vomiting at people, mm-hmm. and nobody's gonna fucking care what I'm saying anymore or how I am feeling. So
right, yeah, precisely.
Totally get it.
Because then what happens is, because more often than not, we've convinced ourselves that no one's going to listen. Mm-hmm. And then when the time comes that we finally have enough strength to say something, and then we do that, and then we get that reaction that just validates that fear, which really was preventable. And it's like, oh, you see, why am I going to say, I'm not going to say anything anymore. I'm going to say anything. It's like, no, or no one gives a shit. No one really cares about what I'm saying. And that is the last thing we need. That's the last thing we need, because we've already gone through this experience of, you know, being hurt, you know, being mm-hmm. spoken to poorly, whatever it is, being abused, I mean, whatever degree we're talking about. And you know, and to feel to feel like we're not being heard is already a wound in of itself. But to be convinced and validated that they're not listening, holy crap. That's a whole other wound that some people sadly don't come back from. And so that's why these things, you know, my podcast, my open mic, your show here with this, these kinds of conversations are more, not even important, they're more vital than ever. They're more vital than ever. We've only begun to really start to take these kinds of experiences seriously. And it's been, you know, it's been so good in our own growth, in our own maturity, you know, and what we see, not of what's around us, but of ourselves, what we now see of ourselves. We give we give ourselves the opportunity. We now are giving ourselves the space and the opportunity to say, I'm fucking worth more than this bullshit that's been mm-hmm. happening. It took me years after spending years convincing my abuser, you can be worth more than this. You know, you can be worth more than this. I believe in you. I fucking believe in you. And to just be, to get it just didn't happen, you mm-hmm. know. And it the only time we would hear that signal, I would hear that signal, you know, it was just in the name of control. It was just in the name of come back. Okay, I'm going to do this. Just don't go. Just stay. And you fall for it. You fall for it. And it's like, good God, man. You know, and you wonder how it affects your sort of belief system. My belief system was to see the good of people growing up. That's how my parents raised me. You know, mm-hmm. even though I was surrounded by conflict, the belief system was see the good in people. My mom would say, God doesn't like ugly. Okay. But recently, I actually had a conversation with my mom about that exact thing. And I just said to her, well, Mom, what if the ugly stops listening? What then? At what point do we take a stand? And you know what my mother said to me? You know what? You're right. And that was massive.
Yeah.
That shit was massive because this is the importance of putting your shit out there on paper first, because mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been able to say that under normal circumstances. Challenging my mother will yeah. eat all of us for breakfast in her sleep. My mother is vicious. Her heart is as big as her attitude. Just saying, yeah. That's my mom, and I'd die for that woman. But that's what it is, and so. But the fact that I was able to say that, and my mom knowing what happened to me, she was like, you know what, you're right, because there's exceptions to every rule. There are exceptions to every rule, and we have to be open enough. And it takes these kinds of conversations to open that up and undo it just a little bit. We don't want to make it a hostile takeover of things, because that's what we've seen in social media so much of, that kind of attitude of, well, I disagree, or that never happened to me, or you're wrong and I'm right, which means you are a heathen and all this other nonsense. It's like, come on. We're supposed to be learning from one another.
Yes.
And these are supposed to be learning from one another. This is how we do it. So I got to tell my mom, and it's funny because when I said it, there was still that, you know, the 10-year-old in me was like, my mom's going to kick my ass and ground me, right? I was like, my mom's going to ground me. She don't ground my ass. I was like, Mom, don't ground me. And she was laughing so hard. I'm like, am I grounded now when I said it? She's like, Gabriel, shut up.
Yeah, I'd be worried about getting a chancla.
Right? You know what's up. The fear of the chancla. Yes, yes.
If you know, you know.
There's depression, there's anxiety, but there's the chancla, y'all. That should be... The federal government needs to include the chancla when it comes to mental health issues. The fucking chancla. Lawyer commercials would have a field.
Yeah.
Are you a victim of the chancla? Call us now. That would be incredible. That'd be lovely. But anyway, but all these things are just, this is why we got to do this. These are all these things we don't get to talk about very often. And that's why there's a lot of pent up passive aggressive people out there, because they're dying to say something. They're dying. They need to say something. And we just keep being told we can't. You know, it's like, this isn't your moment. It's like bullshit. It is.
Well, I feel like people like to live in echo chambers. You know, like mm-hmm. to surround themselves with yes people, to surround themselves with people who have the same beliefs as them and are basically just going to reinforce instead of challenge them.
Yes.
And yes. I mean, there's a level of, yeah, I want obviously to be around people that have some things in common with me, but I also want people to challenge me, because if you're not being challenged, you're not growing, you're not learning. And it's so important to like have friends that are going to hold you accountable, because mm-hmm. if your friends aren't going to hold you accountable, then who the fuck is?
That's right.
Because like I keep saying this over and over again, probably the last few episodes, you only have your perspective. And until somebody else gives you their perspective, that's all you've got is you and how you think. So yes, people, I don't want anything to do with that shit, because, you know, those are the kinds of people that are going to enable people who are addicts, for example, yes, or protect abusers, or, you know, like there's all this toxic shit, and it's because they want to avoid conflict, when in reality, they're creating more problems because, or nurturing problems to grow bigger,
right?
Rather than being able to come to somebody and be like, listen, I love you and I care about you, but I don't agree with what you did or what you said or whatever. Like, I have friends. Those are the people that I know are people I want in my life always. I have friends like that. And even if it's hard sometimes to hear, nobody wants to hear that they fucked up, but that discomfort is the point. Like, you lean into that discomfort and you're like, okay, why do I feel so uncomfortable? Why is this so painful for me to hear right now? And you grow from that, and you embrace it, and you're like, okay, absolutely, I get it now.
And you know, and again, just striking things that you're saying here, because because how do we, so let's wheel it back for a moment with the yes people, you know, as you said, I mean, you said it so eloquently, but it because the bigger thing is, how
did I say fuck in there? Cause I don't think that's
you
eloquent.
You did. I want to say once or twice, and I applaud you for that. There's been a few F bombs, and I never too early for an F bomb, y'all.
It's my favorite word.
It's Steve Harvey, my favorite comedians. He said it best in a stand up, one of his last stand up specials. He said, "The reason I curse so much is because it helps keep my blood pressure low." He's like, "I don't have any health problems because I curse all the damn time."
And so you release it.
And you release it. Yes. Who needs pills? You can just take a dose of F-bomb. That's what you do. You have to. And you know, that's the thing. Actually, a great segue back to my point, because it's when you, because you have to be able to love someone enough to tell them something's wrong, something's amiss. You have, and it's that, there's that misconception of if they disagree, they hate me. And especially when it happens to us, when we are on the receiving end, and you know, it's like, well, what do we do about that? You know, because it, you know, that can impact both abusers and the victims, you know, those who, the victims, the advocates, that become the advocates, right? And how do we address that? How do I, because that goes back to the message. How do we, I'm like, am I saying this wrong? Like, what am I, there's so much of that. But when it comes to speaking out against that type of treatment, whatever level it is, you have to be able to say, listen, because that's what I told my abuser, like, I love you enough to tell you, you're hurting me. You are harming me. You are harming what we have. And again, family, friendship, relationship, hookups. It could be hooked. No, does not matter. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, anybody in your life is a relationship in some way.
Maltreatment is maltreatment because what happened, and I say that part because there's that little judgy part of things where just like, oh, well, you're just hooking up with them. What do you care about? Like, doesn't matter, because you still have to have boundaries. And more often than not, we don't, because we don't have the people in our lives telling us, hey, you might want to pause for a second and think about what's happening. That's what ends up happening. That ends up being part of those, the consequences, you know, if you keep surrounding yourself by people who never say no to you or tell you, hey, maybe you shouldn't, then there are these consequences that happen and you find yourself lost. And then we see this often too, the people who've done it start looking at their friends like, why didn't you tell me about that? It's like,
yes,
you weren't listening. You weren't listening. And now you have two. Now there's two problems, both preventable if you just stopped and listened. And then it becomes a very, because it's the enablers as well that we're trying to fight back. We're trying to fight back against the enablers. It's like, yo, what do you think you're doing? Like, what do you think you're doing? Mm-hmm. I had a one-on-one with an enabler of my abuser several months back. And, it was the common response between a couple, actually, enablers within the same community. And they both said the same thing to me. We don't want to know what happened, but we're a phone call away if you need us. That's what I said in my brain. Go to hell, both of you. That doesn't, because here's the problem with that. Of course, that was, that was my aggressive response channeling my mother. Cool. Right. Here's the thing, though, right? But here's the bigger problem. The problem with that is, I'm going to put myself in that spotlight for a second. I spent a lot of my life being Switzerland, neutral, because I avoided, I was surrounded by conflict so much and I didn't want to be around it. So I stayed away from it as much as I possibly could. If I messed up, I just grin and bear it. And then when I realized I didn't actually do anything wrong, but the damage was done, I'd be pissed. And I'm like, well, what the hell? So the problem is that you end up, you can avoid conflict for as long as you want. You can be neutral as you want, but you become unable to stand up for yourself when the challenges meet you head on. And so in this case, when I heard that, first of all, I said, you both know more than you're leading to believe. Secondly, that type of attitude, what if you were to say, because remember, we're both parents here, you and I, right?
Mm.
What if you said that to my son? What if those same people said that to my kid who went up to them and said, such and such hurt me? Are you going to say that? Is that going to be your response to my five-year-old? Is that going to be your response to any child? What the fuck? You know, at some point, whatever your belief system is, you got to put that shit aside, and be like, okay, we have a bigger problem. And you have to be able to set that boundary of saying, no, we can't permit this. We can't, and it's sad. Like, it shouldn't have to take that. It shouldn't have to go to that level. We need to be way more proactive when it comes to protecting the mental health of our people, especially if we're running a community, of whatever kind. I see even say community on the level of our friends, our community of friends. And because, when we even find a friend, because, there's a thing that came out recently that, I think it was, they did this big survey in their 20s and 30s. So the Mental Health of America did this survey. I think other places have done it as well. And they had said that, over a majority, I forgot the percentage, but had no friends in their 20s and 30s, had no friends, no one they could talk to. What? Shit. So all of these things, to the yes people, this is the damage you're doing. This is the damage you're doing, because you are holding on to, and I would even go so far to say in an almost codependent way, you're holding on to those who only say yes because I feel like there's a part of you who feels like you're not worth anything more than that. And that's not fair to you, because you are worth more than that. We are all deserving of people who we can get the side, different sides, different perspectives. We are worth that. That's true growth. Being able to receive it. That's the other big part.
Yes.
How we receive that. Because anyone could just yap, 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 and yap, yap, yap. But you have to be able to receive that too. And because without that, change doesn't truly begin. Ownership of behavior, accountability, which is the other massive play in this, that cannot happen. But more often than not, people just end up piecing out. They just, you know, they start ghosting. And that's not a way to live. And people end up finding themselves very alone in that. And so that's part, you know, again, there's so many elements that we just don't consider. If we start those conversations now, you know, with our youth, but then have those kinds of same conversations with adults, because we don't want to leave the adults out. Because that's another thing I've been seeing. A lot of these conversations focus on the youth, on the youth, on the youth, on the youth. But it's like, well, wait, what about the young adults, the teens, the young adults, the grown adults? You know, they're still, you know, yeah, they may be a little harder to chisel at, but shit, get at it, man. Get at it. We're all in this. We're all going for something, right? So anyway.
So accountability, that's huge. And being able to not just hear and like receive criticism, but to have a discussion about it. Because there are times when somebody might feel like, why the hell did you do this? And then when you talk it out with them, even if it wasn't the best idea, they might be like, oh, okay, I can see your perspective, and you can both come to an understanding. Like my middle sister, she is so good at this, where she comes to me and she's like, I don't want to hurt you. I'm telling you this because I love you. And like, I don't want to upset you. Like, I know that you're going through whatever. And I'm like, no, I appreciate it. And we talk about it and we come to an understanding. And like, it's so important to not feel like the people that you love and the people that love you are attacking you when they come to you with their feelings. Because at the end of the day, that's really what it is. I feel this, and you have to be able to hear what those people are feeling, because if you want to have a healthy relationship with them, whether it's like I said, my sister, a partner, my kids, whoever, you need to be able to hear how they're feeling so that you can have a good relationship with them. Like my son yesterday, he's 15, and we had some conflict, and I said what you said, like, why did you do that? Like, what were you thinking? And he told me how he was feeling. And he said, I feel this and I feel this. And I was like, okay, what you did was not okay, but I hear you. And like, let's work on this. I want to work on this because I didn't know you felt that way. And so there's this give and take.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And that's just it. It's that. And oh my God, that's first of all, well done. Because, you know, because it's like, not that you needed my validation, but I think those types of things are important, because, you know, as parents, you know, especially as parents, you know, I'm pretty sure before, especially as sensitive, you know, emotionally driven, charged people that we are, you know, we were already questioning our shit before we became parents. We were already questioning, you know, doubting all of it. More often than not, we didn't care, but there's still something in it like, let's just keep going, right? but now as parents, it's like, God, I just want to be able to help and do, you know, what is the best way in this moment? I don't know what that, we don't always know what that looks like, right? Mm-hmm. But we need that. We need that validation. So again, that's why I said that, you know, because I think it's important to hear that. We need that, you know, and it's not, you know, it's a, and and that's from any parent of any, you know, whatever parenting styles there are, it's all part of that learning process. It's like, that's just so great with that. But back to my point is that, you know, if we give, and this just goes for, you know, kids, adults, whoever, it's just like, if we give them the space to speak up, you know, while still holding holding that boundary of accountability, right? Mm-hmm. You know, look at what's happened. You've now started either a short end conversation that you could kind of acknowledge this thing right now and we're good, or it becomes step one of a much bigger thing, a much bigger the conversation to have. But now what happens in either scenario, trust is now established, or at least beginning to be established again. Because mm-hmm. the one thing, because we see it, especially when kids get older, you know, they're like, I don't really want to tell my mom or dad any of this stuff. I'm older now. I don't think they're going to listen, or they're not going to get it. But if we do these kinds of things, they're going to be able to turn to us and be like, listen, mom, dad, something's amiss, or I effed up, or, you know, whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. Like, I fucked up, or I think I'm about to do something fucked up. I don't know. It's just, can we talk?
Yeah.
And you just plant your ass and listen. Be like, baby, talk to me. What's up? And we just listen.
My daughter just started doing the, like, I'm mad at you, so I'm not going to be your friend anymore thing. And so I don't really react very, like, I usually am just like, okay, you know, that really wasn't very nice. That hurt my feelings, or, you know, I understand that you're upset, but that's really not nice to say. And she sometimes will get more upset. And, but she gets more upset very quickly. And then she's sad. And I can see it happening where she's like, okay, I want to hug mommy. And so I wait and I give her space to feel her feelings, because it's okay to be upset. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be sad. There are just certain things that you can't do to the people that you love, or people in general. But then it's like, I look at her and she's like really sad, pouting with tears in her eyes. It breaks my heart. And I'm like, do you need a hug? And she goes, yeah. And then she hugs me and I hug her back, and she's like, I'm sorry, mommy. And
then it's the way they say it. It's like, oh my God, with your squeaky ass voice. God, what How old is she?
Yeah. She's 4. She has a lisp.
Oh.
And
she has a lisp. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's the cutest. I know. It's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
Oh, man. She's going to destroy a lot of hearts, probably. Or just melt a bunch of, probably both. And just, you know, God, it's so cute.
Yeah, it's the sweetest. But yeah, like, holding that space for her to, like, acknowledge, okay, you are entitled to your feelings. Everybody is entitled to feeling their feelings.
Absolutely.
But you can't hurt people.
Right.
And like, I am not going to say that that's okay. So the accountability goes into that too, where I'm saying that this is a boundary. That wasn't okay, but I love you and I'm here and I understand that you're feeling that way. And I mean, that this is like simple with our children, but you can apply that to any relationship, really. Like,
absolutely.
I care about you. I love you. Or even coworkers, you don't have to love or care about them, but like, to keep the peace, sometimes you might have to do shit like that.
Respect them.
Yes.
Respect them. At least respect them enough. But again, but you see, again, it goes back even to whether it's love or respect, you know, whichever, because that's a fantastic, fantastic point. But even respecting them enough to say, listen, I don't like what you're doing to me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you have to keep it as that. It's like, I don't like what you're doing to me. I don't like how you're speaking with me. Like, I don't know what's going on. I myself have had to do that to a couple of my coworkers this year alone. And it's just like, listen, am I wearing a yell at me t-shirt here where you can just look at me and be like, oh, you? It's like, I'm going to yell at you today. For what? for what? It's like, you know, you have being able to have enough of that respect to say to them, listen, whatever's happening, you can't do that. And
yeah,
you just can't do that. And I'm going to ask you a question. You know, I'm going to turn the table for a hot second. Do you feel in what you've gone through up to this point, both as a woman, a parent, you know, with all the things, especially with all the things that you've shared with me prior to this talk today, do you feel that accountability and ownership, behavioral ownership, has become a lost art?
Yes, 100 million%. It's so rare now that when you start talking about accountability with people, people will just bail. People disappear. And like, whether it's holding me accountable or holding them accountable or holding somebody else accountable, if it has to do with, like, people are so afraid of conflict and it doesn't have to be conflict.
Conversation. Yes.
Yes. So again, like the being able to give and receive and understanding, like, this is coming from a good place and establishing that from the very beginning, like as the person giving. And, you know, I mean, some people are just not going to be able to receive it anyway. And we also have to recognize, okay, well, this person does not have the capacity for whatever reason. And, you know, there are plenty of reasons why. There's trauma, there's all kinds of other stuff. And we also have to respect that too. And so if somebody says, as a matter of fact, I just said this to my dad in different contexts, but like, sure. I didn't answer his calls and I just kept texting him back. Like, listen, I'm busy or this or that. And he finally got me on the phone and was like, I'm worried about you. You're not answering my calls. He is very extra. But like, cause if I don't answer, he'll be like, who are you with? What are you doing? Especially if the camera's off, forget it. Oh. So, So I'm 35 and my dad still does that. So anyway, he was like very emotional and like word vomiting at me about how he felt. And I said, Dad, I was like, I understand that you're upset. I'm just going through a hard time right now. I feel exhausted mentally and emotionally, and I need you to respect that and just give me some space and time. And he said, nice. Okay. He said, nice. Okay. Nice. And like years and years ago, that never would have been something that would have been okay with him. But he has done the work and I have done the work. And wonderful. So like being able to set that boundary and also acknowledging that he's upset that he hasn't talked to me because he misses me. That's okay. It's okay. Like, I get it. I would fucking miss the shit out of my kids. I don't even want to think about them being out of the house. It's bad enough that my teenager never wants to be home. I'm like,
right. Ugh. Yeah. Oh, I get that. Oh, I
absolutely. But yeah, boundaries, accountability, all of that plays into our relationships, which plays into our mental health. And all of these things are so connected. It's so important to put in the work to face your discomfort. Like, even if you're not ready to hear certain things, you can still set the boundary. I'm not ready to talk about that. I need some time. But then you take the time to yourself and face why. What is it that is keeping you from being able to hear that, from being able to hear this person out or whatever, and try to understand where that person is coming from? Because you're not going to grow, you're not going to have healthy relationships. It's not fucking possible to have healthy relationships if you can't have difficult conversations, period. Precisely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the whys is the why is the most important question that that we as humanity have avoided for way too fucking long, and enough is enough. It's all about asking why. Asking mm-hmm. those why, and I gotta give a, and I have to give a shout out to a couple old friends of mine out in England, Manchester, who they've been campaigning about that, you know, on their side. They have a little nonprofit, and that's a big thing with about them asking why. Shout outs to lads like us. And I'm telling you now, the whys are the most important thing you're ever going to ask, and that we know that we need to be able to look at straight in the face. And yep. because that's how we break those stigmas, normalizing these very difficult conversations, So they're no longer difficult. They're, you know, mm-hmm. they may be difficult topics. They may be
like uncomfortable. You know, yeah.
It may be uncomfortable, but it's not uncomfortable to talk about it. It's minor, but massive difference in that trust and be in feeling not just heard, but listened to. You know, yes. it's easy to say, oh, you know, I hear you, you're heard. And it's not to take away the value of that, right? Because we don't want to do that. But because of the gravity of these types of feelings and those experiences, we need people to listen. We need mm-hmm. people to listen. And again, that builds that trust, that builds that respect, all these different things. That's how we got to do it. And it's just, otherwise nothing changes. We can't break those stigmas. We need to more than ever. Like, that's part of my role in what I'm doing in both my day job and even in my game development, telling, you know, my stories in game development were about fun in the beginning, fun, entertainment, telling, you mm-hmm. know, some engaging stories. Cool. But after the abuse, you know, and thus becoming a dad from that abuse, because to make that clear, I did not choose this at all. I did not choose. There was no consent behind this. I had no say in this, but I also had to stay silent because I needed to recover within my own self from what happened, come to terms with what happened to me, but then also be a dad at the same time and mm-hmm. knowing none of it was my kid's fault.
Yeah.
And now the stories I get to tell in my poems, my video games, they're personal, and it's going to be personal. It's always going to be personal, but everything else, the fun, the excitement, the engagement, all of those things, but there's going to be a piece of me in each of these things that I create. And you have to, you know, that's my creative path. For others, like for yourself, when we talked, this podcast, would you have done a podcast had these things not happened? Say you still did a podcast, would it, your podcast still have had the same drive and purpose and meaning and impact that I can say for myself being on this side of it has, because mm-hmm. it does have it. Like, what, you know, those are those kinds of things, you know, that, you know, like going through it sucks hard, but it's like, but what's even more powerful is how we come from it, what we do to come from it, the mistakes, whether we cause the mistakes or others did, whatever the case may be, how we come from that. And that's those are the messages we get to tell to others, you know, and be yeah, like, no,
you're absolutely right.
You're worth this. Like, you're worth it.
If I hadn't been through the things that I had been through, I definitely wouldn't feel as strongly or as passionately, I don't think anyway, about helping people and having these kinds of conversations and sharing, like being vulnerable with basically anybody in the entire world. If you think about it, this shit's going to go on the internet and anybody in the world can listen to it. Like,
right.
I just dropped my phone.
Blooper reel.
Well, my son is going to be getting out of school soon, and I figured he might call me, so I had it in my lap just in case. Now right. It's on the floor. But anyway.
That's all right. That's all right.
Being able to share with the world, look, this is normal. Everybody goes through this shit. Because I think culturally, especially older generations, but probably other places in the world as well, these things are still happening where, you know, there's this idea of, no, we don't talk about that, or we don't do that. Or, and I mean, that's the reason why, like, my generation and your generation are all so fucked up now, because our parents probably went through some shit, like some real fucked up shit. And then instead of being able to work through it, they weren't allowed to do that. So they didn't know that they could do that. And so they passed that shit on to us and fucked us up. Like, no, that ends here. I am not fucking up. I mean, I'm still going to fuck up my kids, because we always are going to fuck up our kids in some way. I mean, that's just the reality of it. You can't ever be a perfect parent and not fuck up your kids even a little bit. But
I'm feeling that on a degree. I'm feeling that.
We're not going to traumatize our kids. We're not going to take the trauma that has been passed down for generations and put that on our kids anymore, because we are doing the work, and we are showing our children that there is a way out, that it's okay to talk about your feelings. It's okay to set boundaries. It's okay to say no. It's okay to walk away from something that doesn't feel good. It's okay to not give people hugs just because they're asking for a hug when you're little. Like, those little things really fucking matter. Consent, like all those things that you teach them from when they're very little, absolutely 100,000,000% matter. Because I have PTSD, anxiety, depression, ADHD, and now an autoimmune disease. So, like, all of that is from trauma. That's where it all comes from. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that, you know, people many generations before me, based on information that I know, that's where it comes from. And then it gets in your DNA. It changes your DNA, which is a whole fucking crazy thing that I don't even know shit about. But I know that's what happens, because I've read about it. But like, we have to show other generations, even if you're not a parent, it's showing other people, because from adult to adult, you might change somebody's perspective about things. If people know behind closed doors, everybody's life is kind of fucked up, okay, I am not alone. I can work through this. I can figure this out. I can reach out for help. I can leave. I can, you know, whatever the situation is, like, being able to make sure people understand that and know that, from child to fucking grandpas, like,
doesn't matter.
We can share it with everybody, because if people are going to be receptive to it, they're going to be receptive to it. It doesn't matter how old they are.
Absolutely. Then yeah. And removing those biases of, well, they're old, they're not going to listen, they're stubborn, you know, or they're little, they're not listening to anything. They don't understand. They haven't been through it like us. We don't, this generation, yappity yap yap. It's like, stop. Those biases destroy any bit of integrity, and any bit of hope in our own perception of those of anyone else. Like, it just hurts. You know, it can hurt before you even give it a chance. Like, what, you know, like, if we don't like to get perceived as that, you know, the rule of, you know, what, you know, of assuming, you know, don't make an ass of you and me, as it's always been, this has been said forever. And I don't know who the hell came up with that, but it's like, all right, cool. I hope you weren't on any drugs, but that was cute. That was funny as hell. The point is that you can't just let the biases get, because if you don't want to get treated a certain way, you can't do it to others, you know, and I know in my line of work, there's a rule, and it's escaped me, but the idea behind it is not how, you know, treat others as you would be treated, you know, uh-huh. yourself or whatever the case may be, but treat others as they want to be treated.
Yes.
Treat others as they want to be treated. There you go. Mm-hmm. See, I didn't forget. It's very cool. It's lunchtime, but I didn't forget. but that's just it. It's just so important how they want to be treated, because they're going through stuff. As you said, we're all going through some wacky, fucked up, whatever type of thing. And, you know, so we owe it to ourselves to just give them a little space and grace and, you know, but still setting boundaries at the same time.
100%. Couldn't agree more. All right. So we have said a whole fucking lot, which I love. This has been great. I want to ask you what you would like to leave the listeners with. What's like the most important thing that you feel like you want listeners to take away from this?
Kindness is free. Kindness is free. Kindness doesn't cost anything. I would probably expand on that and say, without kindness, it costs our humanity. Kindness costs our humanity. If you don't do it. Be kind, no matter what your representation is, whatever, you know, wherever you're from, whatever helps you identify yourself, whatever puts value in yourself, you know, at the end of the day, don't be an asshole. Kindness should be as universal as the assholery. We need to get that back. And so, if you can't do that, because there's some people like, well, what if I'm just not in a mood? I'm just going through stuff. Step aside.
Yeah.
Don't bring it to don't bring it online. Don't bring it to your social media, because all you're doing is pushing your rhetoric on others, your narrative on others. And I can assure you, in most cases, they're not ready, because they're going through stuff. Because again, we're going through stuff. So please, give space, give grace, but also give, you know, set boundaries and be kind in all of it.
Yeah. I'm just to piggyback on that, because I love that. Sometimes people are being an asshole because they're going through something. And so like, it's really important to give people that grace and kindness, because, you know, you can change somebody's day. You can change somebody's life that way. If they're feeling really fucked up and one person does one tiny little kind thing, it can really like, if nobody else around them is being kind because they're a dick and you're kind to them, and they're like, oh, like you remind them that we're all human, and it's so important. Usually hurt people.
Oh my God. Fantastic. That's fantastic. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we become the company we keep. When those kinds of things happen, when we allow that and we end up investing in that, you know, that
cuts. So don't feed into it.
Don't feed into your appetites for food. You know, let it eat good food, you know, pizza, Italian food, little crazy, good, fun things like that you can talk about. Like, why does this food suck? Or why does this food amazing? Whatever. Those are the kinds of things we need. We need that. But God, hurt people. God, Lord, that's fantastic. Fantastic.
It's true. It's, you know, like you can say, if like somebody is being so aggressive, you can also make a decision to disengage, and you know, you don't have to say anything. Sometimes just walking away, or you know, if it's like texting, don't respond. Because most of the time, if somebody's really upset and being a dick, mm-hmm. they're going to realize after they come down from that how shitty they were.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feed into it, it's only going to get worse.
Absolutely.
So like, you're not going to get through to somebody who is hurting or upset or like angry, whatever. In those intense moments, they need that space that you were talking about to process their shit or whatever, go feel their feelings, and then come back to it and say, okay,
absolutely,
I was feeling really fucked up. I'm sorry. I was feeling I'm sorry that I was being shitty to you or that I was distant or whatever. I just needed some time to process how I'm feeling. And it's like, okay, I appreciate that. I mean, obviously changed behavior in addition to that is really important, but like the first step toward that is acknowledging it.
Absolutely. And I think if there's, I couldn't agree more that changed behavior. That's a big thing I've been saying more and more and more, because my son, he says it, he's like, oh, if he or she did this thing at school or whatever, or said this thing, and he or she didn't apologize, which means they meant to do it. And I say, usually yes, but also remember how old they are, because usually it's the kids at school. Mm-hmm. And I said, remember how old they are, and he immediately says, right, they're learning. They are learning, my baby. But I tell him, even as adults, we're learning too. He's like, are you? He's like, are you still learning? I'm like, baby, I'm learning every day. And that's one of the most important things. Never stop learning. That's what keeps us alive, is the learning part of it. Now, if there would be anything that I would add to that question of yours, another takeaway from this would be, it's going to be a strong one. Mental illness is not a competition. Stop competing. Stop the comp. This mental illnesses are not meant to be a competition. No one's illness is better or worse than the others, than another's. Preach. Because that shit's happening and I'm seeing it play. And then I'm like, nope. Ask me again why I hate social media and why I'm not on it. And I will share 100+ examples. But that right there, mental illness is not a competition. In my line of work, one of the things we talk about in our groups, one of the biggest rules is, no one's illness is better or worse than anybody else's. It's unique to their own self.
Their experience.
Their lived experience. That's it.
Yep.
Learn from it. It's not about being right. It's about learning from one another so you can understand their perspective. Because you haven't been through it, doesn't give you the right to disagree with it. Doesn't give you the right to say, well, if it hasn't happened to me, you know, that kind of, that to me, that mindset is the equivalent, is the apologize later equivalent. Well, I'm just going to do this now. I'm going to act this way now. I'm going to say this thing now, and I'll apologize later for it. And we've given too much room for that. It's unacceptable. Yeah. It was never acceptable. And it was just never acceptable. But because of that, that's impacted the accountability part of it. Because we let things slide by. And, you know, they'll apologize later. They'd be like, oh, how dare you? And then we forget. And it's just not, this is no bueno.
I think that that's a great thing to end with, that, you know, it's not a competition. Nobody's shit is worse than somebody else's. I mean, it's all about like their lived experience, and it's so important that we allow that, accept that because that's really what it is. Like, accept that just because you think your shit might be worse, and it could be, doesn't mean that other people who haven't had it as bad as you aren't entitled to be fucked up in their own way because of their experience.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't get to put that on somebody else. You know, mm-hmm. you could share the lived experiences. You could share those kinds of things. And I think this is the last one, but this is really the last one. And that's the beauty of these conversations, right? So it's mental illness, you know, though one is not better than, you know, it's not better or worse, whatever the case may be. It, again, as you said, it could feel like it, you know, but that's still their experience. That said, no justification in using your mental illness to be a shitty person, to treat people poorly, to abuse, harm others in any neglect, in any sort of way. Your mental illness is also it's not a competition, but is also no excuse.
Yeah.
No excuse for bad, shitty behavior.
Yep.
Now I'm done. now I'm done with my takeaways. I'm like, oh wait.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for all of that. This has been so wonderful. I love this conversation. And I'm so glad that we were able to connect and do this so quickly.
Me too. This was absolutely wonderful. I'm gonna have you on my podcast suited up.
Ooh, yay!
We're gonna talk because I've been thinking about that in the back of my head. It's like, I really should get back into that again. But this has been great to be able to be on the receiving end of this time. It's like, I know I'm interesting, but I don't want to do this myself. As I said, I just started this, you know? So this has been really wonderful. I'm really grateful. And I think this is a great lesson for the listeners as well. You know, it's like, what impact can two strangers have on one another?
This. Yeah. Yeah. This. Yay. Mic drop.
Yes. Right.
Isn't Gabriel awesome? I enjoyed speaking with him so much. And believe it or not, that was only the second time that I had ever spoken to him, like, ever. We just really hit it off. He was so easy to talk to. Just a really cool, interesting guy. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. The podcast, while it is very important to me, has to take a little bit of a backseat. So I'm trying to balance out this show, which I am so passionate about and means so much to me, and hopefully means a lot to other people out there who are listening or watching. But my kids obviously take precedence over everything. So that's really what I am focusing on, just taking care of myself, which in turn helps me to take better care of my kids, be really mentally, physically okay, and to be the best mom and friend and sister and daughter and niece and all the things, that all the different roles that I play. So it's really important to me that I am able to bring my best self to everyone, give my best self to everyone. And with how I was previously doing things, I was really hurting myself. And it was in the name of helping others. But at the end of the day, you can't help other people if you are not taking good care of yourself, because your body is going to put you in check and be like, yo, sit the fuck down. You're doing too much. You're not going to have a choice. And that's kind of what happened to me with getting sick earlier this year. So just a reminder to please, please, please make sure that you get outside, get some sun, especially for those of us who are in the Northern Hemisphere. In even New York and New Jersey, we've gotten a lot of really warm weather, which is great. And I feel like that's definitely contributing to my improvement in my mental health, because I am able to get outside and get some sun and just breathe some fresh air. I'm also, of course, making sure that I am surrounding myself with positive people, people who are bringing good into my life. And I'm trying to do the same to everyone else. And I don't want to spread myself too thin. I feel like so many of us want to do everything. And I mean, I know that about myself. I am a complete overachiever. I want to hit the ground running and start doing something and immediately be the best at it. And when I can't be the best at it, when I'm not the best at it because it's something new that I'm doing, it gets really frustrating and really discouraging. So I'm trying to pace myself better, trying not to take on too many things, trying to be really reasonable with my mental and emotional bandwidth. And nobody should ever feel guilty about doing that and prioritizing themselves. Because again, if you prioritize yourself and you are taking good care of yourself, you're automatically going to be able to be your best self. And so then you can focus on giving that to other people once you have focused on yourself. So I've been really trying to do as much of that as I possibly can amid this crazy time in my life. But I'm feeling really good. Like I said, I feel very loved. I feel very supported. So while there are all of these really, really difficult things happening, there are all of these really wonderful things happening. And so it's a balance, right? Anyway, I'm going to stop rambling on. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at teatime.with.tara. That is where I post most of my updates. I don't really do too much anywhere else right now because, again, I'm kind of like consolidating and really focusing on my world, my internal world, and everything around me rather than pouring so much into the podcast. I'm also in school now, which is great, but it's also really fucking overwhelming. Follow me on Instagram so that you know what the fuck is going on, because I do post on there almost every day, even if it's just some like shitpost memes, because I feel like my Instagram story has kind of become like a Tumblr page, but it seems like most of you enjoy it. So I'm gonna keep it going. And even if you don't, fuck it, I like it. I guess that's it. You can always send me an email, tara@teatimewithtara.com, or just shoot me a message on Instagram. Check out my website. There's a contact page. My business phone number is actually even on there as well, but don't be a fucking creep because I've had a few of those. Next month is Pride Month. I will make sure that I am doing at least one Pride Month based episode because the LGBTQ plus community is very near and dear to my heart as a member of the community. But also I love so many people that are part of this beautiful community of ours. So stay tuned for that. Subscribe, leave a rating. Let me know what you think. I want to know how you guys are enjoying the show. I also want to know if you want me to be doing any live streaming or anything. I did that live stream marathon, and while it was really interesting to do, I want to say, it was very exhausting, so I will not be doing any marathons, but I would really like to make sure that I'm getting participation because your participation as the listeners is so, so, so important in those live episodes. I want to be able to have a solid conversation back and forth. I can even invite you guys on to be part of the show, like send you an invite to hop in on the video. So definitely let me know if that's something that you guys are interested in. And otherwise, just keep on keeping on. I love you guys. I hope that you are all doing well. And if you are not, please reach out to somebody. Reach out to me. I will do everything that I possibly can to help you because even though my life can get really crazy sometimes, I will always prioritize someone in need because I have been that person in need who did not get that kind of attention and support that I really needed. So there will never be a time that where I am too busy to help you or someone else when you are or they are in crisis. Just believe that things will get better. I am really, really feeling that even though I'm not seeing the end result yet. So I'm really just hanging in there and I hope that you guys will too. Thank you for checking out Tea Time with Tara. Stay tuned.